Misfit Toys.
Doug hates candy wrappers, screaming baby sticky seeds with 50 as in popcorn kernels in his teeth. There's still not one that he won't see, 'cause Doug loves movies.
Oh, shit. Hey, everybody. Welcome to I Love Movies with Doug Benson. That's me. I'm Doug Benson. And it's nice to see a nice audience here at the UCB Theater. That was the theme song by Hard and Firm. Very funny musical act. Check them out live if you ever get a chance. UCB Theater does a lot of great shows. Go to UCBTheaterDetails.com. Go to UCBTheaterDetailsForMore.com. But don't do it right now. Enjoy this show first. I want to have an opening remark here before I bring out my guest. The Borat movie is off the chain or the hook or whatever you put things on. And people love it, and it's huge. And I have to admit something to you guys. I saw Borat on the Ali G show numerous times talking about Kazakhstan, and I always thought Borat from Kazakhstan was like Balki from Meepos. I had no idea that Kazakhstan is a real place. And it turns out it is, and they're not happy. And some of the people from the village in Kazakhstan are suing over the movie, but that's just because they want money for food. But some other people that are suing, some of the other characters in the movie are suing because they didn't know they were characters in a movie. They thought they were characters in something that's not a movie, but there were cameras there and they were being interviewed, and I don't know what they thought it was going to be, but like the frat guys are really upset. And I decided what I'm going to do is I'm going to sue Borat and the movie for not putting me in it, because that would be huge for me if I was in the Borat movie, and they're fucking with my livelihood by not humiliating me in it. All right, those are my opening comments. You know my guest today as a gifted stand-up comic and actress who has a new series debuting someday on Comedy Central and has appeared in many great movies and TV shows, including Mr. Show, Seinfeld, and Sarah Silverman, Jesus is Magic, in which she plays the title role. Please welcome Jesus, everybody. Jesus is here. Hi, Jesus. Sarah Silverman, a.k.a.
I brought a sweater. Cold.
All right, here, just talk right into this. So far, the people listening to the podcast haven't heard anything.
I get cold, and I brought a sweater.
All right.
Just in case.
Try to get a little tighter on it.
On this?
Yeah, like kind of like how I'm doing it. You can pull it out if you want.
Nah.
Okay. I like that. We've done shows where two people are sitting like that, and I've been told it looks awkward. So try to rearrange
what
it.
What should I do with this?
This is just, now it's just set decoration. The tiny mic stand.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, you can work on your whatever that muscle's called.
I need to.
All right. Movies. That's what we're here to talk about.
You love them?
Big S. I love them. You like them.
And I like them.
You're a fan. What have you seen lately? Have you been to the cinema lately? I know you and I tried to go the other day, but it was traffic was a problem.
I've seen three movies lately. I usually never.
What are they?
We saw The Prestige.
That's right.
The Prestige.
But you haven't seen The Illusionist, right?
No. Is that better?
What I would like is, I thought that Edward Norton was the best magician, and The Prestige was the best movie. So I wish Edward Norton could be cut into The Prestige.
Oh.
And make one awesome movie instead of two movies I didn't care for that
much. What's the Illusionist?
The Illusionist.
What's the basic idea there?
The idea there is that
Is it old-timey, like Prestige?
It's same old-timey shit. Like, it's amazing how similar they are.
Do they refer to the illusion, to the end of the illusion, as The Prestige?
No, they don't know that expression in The Illusionist. They just go, what's the end part of that? And he goes, it's called the ta-da. And he gets really mad about it. But
I don't need your sarcasm.
It's more of a Illusionist is more of a romance between Edward Norton and Paul Giamatti.
Really?
No, Paul Giamatti plays a police inspector who's trying to shut down his crazy illusions because they're the work of the devil. Because his illusions are like, he makes dead people appear. So it's not really magic as much as it is like, you know, a guy
devil
who can make
work.
Dead people appear.
Wait.
Or devil work. Somebody's getting a phone call. Shut that shit down. we can't get the rights to that song. It's going to cost us money.
Hey, isn't one of the it doesn't matter. No one cares.
Is this your first day with your new phone?
Just turn it off.
Yeah, it's all right. It happens.
Yeah, we all do it some by accident. You think you've already turned it, the ringer off, and then you forget that you did, and you flick the switch, and you're turning it on. That, I've done that before.
Yeah, absolutely. I keep mine on. Oh, hang on. I'm getting a call. It's vibrating right now. It's weird timing, isn't it?
Yeah. It's weirder that you're answering it.
I'm not. I'm just turning it off.
Oh.
Because it might cause some sort of weird frequency sound on the thing.
What about...
Like my radio in my car gets all weird when a call comes in.
That's a great story. Can I just say quickly, though, that there's a ringtone that is it supposed to be the theme to Regis and Kelly? Because it goes do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do.
Oh, yeah. It does kind of sound like it, but it's not. That's not it.
Yeah, it's exactly.
It's like in a spy movie when it goes ding-ding-ding-ding, ding-ding-ding-ding, ding-ding-ding-ding. Like it's slightly different. It's not really the James Bond theme.
But that's the James Bond theme in Nintendo 64's original 007.
That's what it sounds like?
That's the last time
I changed up a couple of the notes just like Vanilla Ice did. Singing songs we can't get the rights to.
Oh, sorry. Stop yelling at me, Doug.
We're here to talk about movies, not sing the theme songs. Okay, and?
I saw Borat twice.
Really? Why two times?
Wouldn't you?
I probably will now that you mention it.
And I saw Tenacious D, Pick of Destiny.
Yay! You went to the premiere of Tenacious D, Pick of Destiny. And what have you got for us? Anything
it's
juicy?
It's fantastic.
All right,
it's going to be so good.
It's going to be out and a huge hit by the time this podcast airs in a few weeks. But
it's so good, and I made the mistake of getting too high, and it's a premiere, so I just walked across the street because I was at Jimmy's thing, and. All
it's a bar
sudden,
in Westwood.
All of a sudden, it was like click, 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 and that picture's okay. And it's not like they use any of them or anything. But then I did like 1,000 interviews, and I was just like, "Your hair is so soft."
Who'd you say that to, Billy Bush?
They're not going to use it, right? I don't know. I think it was like Access Hollywood. I was like, "Your hair is so soft." What an idiot! What a loser! That's not cool.
You forgot to not get high before being interviewed?
Yes.
You forgot. Really, you didn't think there'd be a red carpet at a Tenacious D premiere. You
no, I knew there would, but I was too high to go, oh, I'm not going to do... It's first of all, I sound like a...
Sarah Silverman?
Just to say, like, oh, and then I had to do interviews. But really, I didn't, and they're not going to use any. The only way they would use any is if they were like... Sarah Silverman's on drugs, you know what I mean? But it's not like there aren't 1,000 people of sound bites they would use before. And I talk to everyone way too long to the point where it's usually like, oh, could we get this person for a second? It was like, okay, they want to go to the next person. I'm
right.
Still talking. It's embarrassing. It's almost as embarrassing as this right now.
Almost.
We'll cut this out.
Oh, yeah. We do a lot with the editing on this.
Really?
Yeah, it's up to the individual listener. And
I'm sorry. I
they can stop it or move it forward or whatever. Once they download it, they can do whatever they want with it.
I hate what I...
A lot of people will only need to hear 30 seconds of you talking.
Shit.
Before they let it rip.
I'm sorry, Doug.
That's all right. This is fantastic. I'm glad that you liked the Tenacious D movie.
I loved it.
Any... You don't cameo
all
in
new
it?
Music?
You cameo in it?
No.
Why not?
You know, I was just like, you guys, you know what? Fly on your own. No, they didn't ask me. So.
But it was directed by
Liam Lynch,
who directed Jesus is Magic. You owe me a Coke.
And it's so good. It's all new songs. Immediately catchy. Like, immediately you love them. And it's like that combination of so funny and the music is so beautiful and... It's great.
Awesome. Two thumbs up?
Yeah.
Way up.
Up your ass.
What about, are you going to see Deja Vu? What about, are you going to see Deja Vu? What about Babel?
I'll tell you why I'm not going to see Deja Vu. I don't understand those black movies. I just don't. It's just, they're not made for me.
It's just the one black fellow. And then a bunch of white people. And he's got deja vu because he's black. Somebody says, go pick up that garbage. And he goes, no, deja vu.
You know why it's called... You know why it's called deja vu?
Why?
It's the name of his character's daughter.
Really?
Yeah.
Black people, weird names. Ding, doodling, ding, 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 ding. And Babel, same thing.
They make such stupid, weird names. Why can't they just name their kids Kevin?
Why are they named after products in the pharmacy aisle?
Oh, shit.
Classic. Babel. Your thoughts?
I didn't see it.
Are you gonna? Because it looks like work to me. You have to.
I know
the story's out of order, so you have to figure out what's happening, and then it's all depressing shit.
I want to say that I want to see it. But I don't think I'm going to see it because I feel like it will be sad. And I know if I see it, I'll be so glad I saw it. But it takes me a while to get to those like Schindler's List-y movies.
Right.
Although that ended up being pretty funny. It's too easy.
Yeah. What about classic motion pictures? I always like to talk to the guests about their favorites of all time. And no porn. Do you actually have a favorite porn?
No.
No. Just what? Any actors you like?
There is a porn like producer that I like. His name's when I used to look at porn online.
Right.
A long time ago. And you'd like click on it.
They have credits on the
it.
Online porn?
Well, no, it's not credits. It's like who it's by that you click on.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy named Scumbag Steve, I liked. I liked his work.
Scumbag Steve.
This is very like amateur and dirty. But let's not talk about. I don't know why I'm not as into porn anymore.
Because you got a regular fella.
Yeah, I guess. Anyway, I
classic
guess I'm
movies.
Growing up.
Yeah, maybe.
Where's Papa? I saw like a year ago, which is from like the 60s or 70s.
Yeah, I'd say maybe 70s.
Loved it.
George Segal. Ruth Gordon.
Ruth Gordon is, I love her so much. And
even funnier than she was in the orangutan movies?
I'm not even going to dignify that.
But it was like Harold and Maude was another great one that she was in. She had a couple
of
great
she's
ones.
She's unbelievable. I mean, she really was a genius actress. And she wrote what's that lawyer movie with the, what's-her-face Hepburn and Spencer Tracy?
She wrote that?
Yeah. What's it called?
Lawyer movie.
No. Nice.
No, it's called Not His Girl Friday.
And what's-her-face is in it, and she has a great opening scene, Judy Holliday.
Hmm.
It's called...
Are you going to transport through time like Hero? all right, well, it might come to
Doesn't
me later
matter.
On.
Doesn't matter. Ruth Gordon.
Or I'll look it up later for anybody that's
Where's Papa
driving
is
him
so
crazy.
Fucking funny. It's so not dated comedically. It's like there is
Gorilla
a...
Gorilla suits are always funny. Ron Liebman.
The one from Norma Rae?
Mm-hmm.
Is in it, and I didn't never seen him be funny, and he's... There's a gang rape scene, in Central Park of a woman.
Right.
That's funny.
Wow.
I mean, it's really a crazy movie, and what's his face? Carl Reiner directed it, maybe his first, and we're running late?
No, we're doing good.
Really?
Yeah, I need to know what time it is.
All right.
I should put a little clock on the table. It's kind of weird that I always have to look
movies
at my phone.
Movies of all time, Crimes and Misdemeanors.
That's another, that one's come
Ordinary
up in a previous
people.
Show. I love Ordinary People.
Goodfellas.
The scene where he finds out that his friend killed herself.
tears me up every time. Spoiler alert.
I love that movie. You know, that's the thing about Babel, although I don't know why everyone says it's amazing that I don't feel like seeing it. There's some movies I just don't, but if I do see it, then I'm glad I saw it or something. But Ordinary People is a classic, depressing, heartbreaking kind of movie, but it's one of those movies that wherever it is on cable, at whatever point, I have to watch it. It's so good. It's so good.
I find most actors, their first movie is awesome, and then they're allowed to make a lot more that aren't as awesome. Like with Robert Redford, like that first one out of the gate was amazing, and then Milagro Beanfield War I could live without.
I don't know.
I mean, an actual Beanfield War is fun to be a part of.
A jelly
but watching
Beanfield
it on screen
War.
Is no good.
I'm adorable.
You really are. So you're hosting the Independent Spirit Awards again.
Yes.
Next year.
You're writing for it for me.
I am?
Yep.
All right.
Just me and you.
All right. We'll do it. We'll make it happen. I've already scribbled down a few ideas.
Really?
Yeah, I've got a Little Miss Sunshine joke that's going to knock your dick in the dirt.
What is it?
I'm not going to say it here because then it's ruined for your show.
All right.
You know, for your thing. It's got to all seem like it came from you. That's what I try to do. I just watch you come up with jokes and then take some of the credit.
Oh,
works out pretty good.
You gave me some classics last year.
That was
serious
fun.
Classics.
So you why are you doing it again? Just because they asked you to? Or I mean, obviously they asked you to, but they asked you like the second it was over. They were so thrilled that you did such a great job. They were like, "Thank God we don't have to look at John Waters anymore."
Oh, come on. He's
no,
so
he's
campy.
Awesome, but I just can't look at that mustache. Is it,
but you
is
have
it penciled
no
in or is
wearing
it real?
This one?
This is real. His is like, I don't know.
His is Clark Gable-esque.
if Clark Gable was a weird gay dude from Pittsburgh. Where's
he has
he from?
That mustache that the guy
Baltimore.
From Natasha and the short guy.
This is like doing an interview with my mother
80.
Or something.
I know.
What's that movie where
that
there's people in it and things happen? Do you remember that one, honey?
I should have had a coffee or something.
My dad today told me, I think room 62 is in trouble. I'm like, you mean Studio 60? And
I
yes,
think room
it is.
222.
Yeah. School of Rock, you played Ned Schneebly's girlfriend. And I only bring that up because I love saying Ned Schneebly.
Yeah, it's a good name.
Funniest movie name ever. Was that your favorite movie to be in? Like, what's your favorite of all the movies you've appeared in? Obviously, maybe Jesus is Magic would be
yeah,
the best one.
I got
it's all you.
It's all me all the time.
But ones that's just you're not all in it.
I had
which do you like the best?
A lot of fun making School of Rock, and School of Rock is a instant classic movie, if I dare say, but
please.
In terms of my role in it, it was pretty straightforward, boring bitch. You know, it wasn't like, wow, I really
you were good at
stretched
it.
My wings.
Yeah. Oh,
I'm a bitch in my movie, too, and in my show that's coming up, but it's a layered bitch. It's not like just the bitch that makes this person able to do this in the movie, you know what I mean?
Yeah, because it's kind of like, what's her problem? Jack Black is awesome.
I know.
Why does she have to go
there's
and
no
cause all this trouble
turn,
and stand around?
No, there was a little more got cut out, but of course it got cut out, but it wasn't needed. You know what I mean? It was like, I'm glad to be a part of it, but it wasn't like, wow, I'm not going to put it on my reel or anything. Like, wow, she can really
just
be
put
a
scene.
No
just
reason.
Put a scene of him teaching the kids on your reel.
Yeah,
and be like, I was in it too.
Yeah,
it's pretty good, isn't it?
The poster with my name.
I'm totally a part of it. What the hell were you doing in Rent? What happened there? She's in Rent, you guys. I'm not lying. People don't even believe it when they hear it. They're like, Sarah Silverman was in Rent?
I like to fancy myself a singer, but I'm not like a real singer. And I sang two songs for the audition. This is before they ended up getting the original cast.
Yeah.
And then I was offered the only non-singing role. And then I was at the gym before it came out, and some like hoity-toity guy was like, I saw a screening of Rent, and you're the funniest thing in it. And I was like, walking on air, so excited that I was the funniest thing in it. And then I saw it because I'd never seen the play or anything. And it turns out it's an AIDS drama.
It turns out.
Yeah. So I took a little bit of
wait, what two songs did you sing for your audition? Didn't they have AIDS and drama in the words, in the lyrics?
No, it was that, it was the,
oh, that, the cow over the moon thing?
The cow jumped over the moon
thing. Oh, that's the worst part. I hate that part.
I know, but she's so great.
Yeah, she's awesome.
I do love her.
All right. Well, yeah, I saw, I told you, I saw a screening of that movie, like, right before it opened. It was packed with a bunch of rent heads. And and they actually, like, applauded a little bit when your name was in the opening credits and gasped audibly when you actually appeared on screen.
It's not an impression.
They were very excited to see you.
That's so nice. But I know what it is. Like, it's not like I didn't pull off a great performance, not even a good performance. It's just like a nothing part. I mean, it's whatever. And I think what it is it's so heartbreaking and sad and AIDS-y that when they see me, they know, oh, we won't, there'll be a little less AIDS for a minute, just for like a relief. Right. Like, oh, this is going to be
the there'll be
comic
a little less
part.
A guy singing about living in Santa Fe.
Well, that's the thing is, so I had never seen the movie before, and I love musicals, but I also was like, I went with a friend of mine. We split a pot cookie or whatever, and we're just going to like rip on it back and forth. And I don't know if it was the pot cookie or the story or, I mean, the perform. I mean, Jesse Martin and the guy, the other guy who plays the late Angel.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I'm sobbing. I mean, the tears will not stop coming down, and I'm embarrassed in front of my friend, and I'm like trying to look over, and finally I look over, and he's like, we're both crying. It was beautiful, but the only bad parts are the opening song is terrible because it's like, we gotta pay the rent. And it's like, are you
serious?
Yeah,
it's a little bit like, well, why do you not have to pay the rent? Like, why do you think you're so fucking special?
Also, it's like, if you're gonna open with a song that says, I gotta pay the rent, don't call the show Rent. It's just like, it's too
rent,
like...
Rent. Yeah, they sing it over and over again.
Yeah, we gotta pay the rent, and that's the name of the show. And then the Santa Fe song is terrible. It's like a bad 80s video.
It looks like a karaoke video, that sequence.
I don't remember how it goes. And then the most insulting bad song, and then everything else is excellent, I think. I loved it. You loved Rent. You saw that play like 80 times. Anyway.
I saw it 80 times.
No! We have fun. Is the song that he's like, I've got to get one good song, and then Mimi's almost dead, and then they're like, listen to this boy's song, or whatever, and then he sings the song, and it's the worst song ever written. It has no hook. It is not catchy. It's like, your eyes.
It's romantic.
It's awful. it's such a bad song. I wish that Jonathan Larson could be alive for me to tell him how unacceptable that song is.
Is that his name?
I can't believe his name I remember. Thank you.
Adam's Rib. Thank you very much.
Adam's
wow.
Rib.
Right under the gun. That was good timing.
Thank you. I don't want to leave.
You don't have to. We're going to stick around for a couple more
but
minutes.
But I don't want Wayne to come out.
Well, first of all, that's next week's episode. We tape two at a time, but we run them one week later.
I'm sorry.
So now people are going to be like, they have to wait a whole week to hear
but
Wayne.
But I was kidding. I thought we were going to be together. I'm sorry.
It's all right.
Next week's going to be good. Let's keep going.
Next week's show is going
to
be awesome.
Can I make one other point that doesn't have to do with movies that just reminded me of?
Sure.
When people who have Macs turn on their computer...
That noise?
It's that exact same thing as... it's been 7 hours and 50 days.
It always reminds me of at the end of every HBO show when it goes... and there's static and then it goes off.
So, well, you know. See the glass... I don't even see the glass.
My favorite Sarah Silverman movie character is Raving Bitch in Way of the Gun. A couple of people applauding. You guys, seriously, rent Way of the Gun from Netflix or whatever. Watch the first 5 minutes, and as soon as the credits start, put it back in the envelope and mail it back.
No,
maybe
I
even
liked
include
it.
A post-it saying the rest of it's worthless, but Sarah's awesome.
No,
but
I liked it a lot.
Well, you liked the whole movie, and I had some problems with it, but your sequence at the beginning
is so fucking awesome, and it totally sets up like it's a completely different movie starts to happen after you're done, you know. But it is a great sequence. I love it. What's the one thing that you yell at him that you made up? You call him like a dick or a
gay uncle.
Gay uncle's pretty good, but you call him something else. It's like really like super dirty thing to say.
A baby fucker.
That's it. You came up with that, didn't you?
No, I came up with a lot of it. I mean, on the page, it was like two sentences, and I improvised like this much, and then I went to see the movie, and he kept the whole thing in. Like, I was so... It was so nice.
Yeah, he knew gold when he saw it.
No, Christopher McQuarrie, and that was the first movie he directed, but he wrote Usual Suspects.
He wrote Kaiser Soze and Baby Fucker. Those are the two most memorable.
No, he wrote Fontanella is the soft part of a baby's head. He gave me that. Fontanella fucking Baby Fucker.
See what I mean? You got to see this movie. You got to see it.
So anyway, but I thought he did an amazing job.
Way of the Gun with Ryan Philippe.
And Benicio Del Toro.
Yeah.
Soon to be Che Rivera.
Is he?
Che? Whatever.
Whatevs. It's time to play Leonard Maltin.
Oh my God.
And Leonard Maltin game is something that Sarah and I have actually, we actually play together quite frequently when we're just sitting around with supposedly doing something else, trying to get work done. And essentially the idea of Leonard Maltin, if you don't know, those of you that are here or listening, is we take the Leonard Maltin movie book and list off the cast name from the bottom, and the other person has to try and guess it before it gets to the giveaway names. Like, if it was the producers, the giveaway names would be Mel Brooks and, I mean...
I don't know if...
Sarah Mostel and Gene Wilder, or Matthew Broderick and Nathan Lane. Do you have a good one?
I have one. We've never talked about this movie. Well, 1989.
Okay. 89, okay, that's acceptable.
Should
I like
we start
it to be
with the number of stars? The number of like,
I don't
stars
care what
Leonard
I don't care
Maltin.
What Len thought of it, honestly.
All right.
His taste is in his mouth. But,
here we go.
Give me the year. 89. Got it. Okay. I'll give it to myself.
Anthony LaPaglia is the last name.
Is the last name on the list. Oh, wow. I'm going to go with Betsy's Wedding.
No.
Shit.
Charles.
He was in that, you know.
McCoggin.
Okay. I don't know him.
Tammy Grimes. Who is that?
She does lots of voiceovers because her voice is like, I'm Tammy Grimes.
Michael Schoffling. Schoffling.
Oh, wait a
Who's
second.
That?
He's the guy that he was in two movies, so this is probably one of them. He was in Molly Ringwald's 16 Candles. He was the hunky guy in 16 Candles.
Oh.
And then he did like this other movie that you're talking about,
but
and
you
then
don't know what it is.
And then he vanished.
Steve Buscemi. Because
he was in The Illusionist. What?
Steve Buscemi.
Buscemi. Wow. Okay.
There's still a lot more names to go.
Wow, this is a tough one.
Betty Comden.
Like Betty Comden.
Mercedes Rule.
Okay.
Wow, really.
Never a good thing. It's never a good thing when Mercedes Rule is involved. She was
I like her.
Okay.
I loved...
Don't give it away.
Married to the Mob. All right, Madeline Potter. Madeline Potter.
I don't know who that is.
Nick Corey.
Huh.
Mary Beth Hurt.
Wow, this is a tough one.
We've got
one. I'm not going to lie to you. How many names are left?
Three.
Okay. Really?
Chris Sarandon.
Whoa.
Does anyone have an idea in the audience?
Don't yell it out if you know it, but Chris Sarandon.
I know.
The voice of Jack Skellington. I know that much about him. All right, give me
Adam Coleman Howard.
What? He's second billed? Adam Coleman Howard?
Maybe you don't know this movie. I saw this movie a bunch of times. For some reason, I loved this movie.
All right, who's the
Leonard
star?
Leonard Maltin did not.
Who's the star of it?
Bernadette Peters.
Oh, Slaves in New York.
Yeah.
I never saw it. Never saw it. But,
I'm sorry.
But that was fun, though.
Is that all we get to do?
We're kind of out of time.
I thought I was going to get one, to guess one.
All right, I'll give you one.
Really?
Yeah.
I'll just cut
Here
it
we
out.
Go. 1972, Michael Caine and Laurence Olivier. and the only two people in it. It's called Sleuth. They're remaking it with Michael Caine and Jude Law, as it turns out. Here, I'll give you a real one.
Really?
Yeah.
You know what I was gonna
The listeners do? Are going to be like, I don't care that this one's going long. This is so much
no,
fun
they're
listening
not.
To her. Yeah, they are.
Really?
It's a good one. It's a good episode. I'm proud of it. It's probably going to go on my best of at the end of the year.
No, it won't. These short clips, there were some good moments.
Okay.
You know we'll what I was going to do out. When I thought of one and I was like, ooh, I've got one?
Yeah.
Next Stop Wonderland.
That would have been a good one.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, I think I might have gotten it. I would have gotten to it when you got to what's her name.
You look like the guy in it.
I do.
A little bit.
All right, if you say so.
Who's from New Hampshire?
Sorry, I'm having such a hard time finding a good one for
his
you.
His name.
But I'm gonna get a really good one. All right, here we go. You ready?
Ooh.
1990.
Grease 2.
Sarah no Silverman, way. Ladies and gentlemen. That's our show. The Sarah Silverman program will be on Comedy Central someday.
April 1st.
April 1st.
Did you say someday?
Yeah.
Why'd you look at me? Because you think it will...
No, I think it'll be on.
It won't be April 1st?
No, I think it will. But April 1st is kind of a weird, you know, for a comedy network to tell you your show's debuting on April 1st. Did you? She just licked the microphone, ladies and gentlemen. And now she has to lick a piece of paper to get rid of it. Which I should tell you what I did with this piece of paper before you did that.
I'm going to puke. Do you know what's right. on microphones?
If you haven't, other comedians, if
at
you haven't...
At comedy clubs?
Already, listeners, go to handheldcomedy.com, which should be where you are right now,
at
listeners.
At the very least.
And sign up for the Laugh Bank.
Smoke.
It's our version of a frequent flyer program.
Fecal
the Laugh
matter.
Bank. But you don't actually go anywhere.
Dried semen.
Until next time, this is Doug Benson saying... I've got the perfect role for you in the movie inside my head.
Now it's time for Doug to watch another talkie. Eyes of gold, his viewing prowess makes him cocky. There's no room in his heart for you, cause Doug loves movies.
Hi, I'm stand-up comedian and sex symbol Tig Notaro.
And I'm actor and writer Cheryl Hines.
Before Cheryl and I got into the big business of podcasting together, we were just simply friends.
And we're still friends. But now we talk about a different documentary every week on our podcast, Tig and Cheryl, True Story. We've covered everything from true crime to Britney Spears to My Octopus Teacher. I'm just laughing because My Octopus Teacher was crazy.
I found it more interesting that his son... now had a stepmother, and it was an octopus. We also, Cheryl, tell stories, go on tangents, and generally make our sides hurt laughing at each other.
So whether you love documentaries or just want to hear us slowly lose our minds, check out Tig and Cheryl True Story wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, cool.
Hi, I'm comedian and writer Michael Ian Black. In between writing books and starring in movies, I do a podcast so popular I named it Obscure. It's my own spin on an audiobook meets book club with comedy. For season 2, I just finished Mary Shelley's Frankenstein. And I know you guys like murder podcasts. Well, this is a murder podcast. Join me for Obscure on Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, or wherever you listen.